Well, we know from history that over the centuries, many kingdoms and empires have risen to power and have established their cultural landscape and have influenced how one ought to live. The Mongol Empire covered an enormous territory, an enormous amount of territory, including all of China and parts of Russia, Europe, and the Middle East. The Ottoman Empire, which centered around modern-day Turkey, spanned most of the Mediterranean, parts of the Middle East, and of northern Africa. The British Empire extended well beyond its shores and colonized many territories throughout the globe. The same could be said of the Spanish Empire, which was one of the largest empires in world history. It was said back then that the sun never sets on the Spanish Empire. And then, of course, there was the Roman Empire, which was in power during the days of Jesus and the birth of the early church. All of these kingdoms had different strengths and tactics, and they were all mighty and greatly feared by their enemies. But do you know what they all had in common? All the empires eventually came to an end. The Mongol Empire lasted 180 years. The Ottoman Empire, a bit over 600 years. The British Empire ruled for over 400 years. The Spanish Empire spanned nearly 500 years. And the Roman Empire lasted 500 years under the emperors. And if you include the time of the Roman Republic, then its reign was over 1,000 years. All of these kingdoms, and the dozens of kingdoms that I did not mention, were all overcome. They all had an expiration date. They were all mighty and fierce, and no one living during the peak of their dominance would ever think that their kingdom would fall. But eventually, each one of them collapsed and was conquered. Their reign came to an end. As a matter of perspective, the United States has been around for a bit over 200 years. And who's to say that it too won't one day fall from its current prominence and dominance? Don't get me wrong, I don't wish for it to happen. But it would be foolish to think that somehow America is different from the other empires and is immune to falling like the rest of the worldly powers. Worldly kingdoms rise and fall, but there is one kingdom whose rule and reign is everlasting. And the king of this eternal kingdom is none other than God himself. And that is what I want to focus on this morning as we conclude our sermon series. I want to impress upon you this morning that God and his kingdom will never, ever fall. And in that reality, we can rejoice. And so this morning, I want to exhort you to rejoice in the following three things. First, rejoice that God will be victorious. Second, rejoice that God is reigning now and for all eternity. And third, rejoice that Christ will return to consummate, to usher in his kingdom. Rejoice that God will be victorious. Rejoice that God is reigning now and for all eternity. And rejoice that Christ will return to consummate his kingdom. Let's take a look at each of these one at a time and find great joy and comfort in the everlasting reign of God. So first, rejoice that God will be victorious. Brothers and sisters, we are all prone to be nearsighted. We tend to look at our immediate circumstances and then respond accordingly. If we get a raise at work, or if we get good news from the doctor, or if we see God answering our prayers, then it is easy for us to rejoice in the Lord in our current circumstances. But when the current situation is less than ideal or just straight up bad, we tend to fall into despair and fear. Now, as I said 2 Sundays ago, all of humanity, Christians included, are becoming increasingly afraid of everything. And in our day and age, one of the greatest sources of despair and fear is our current cultural and political climate. We see the political candidates and we worry and become afraid of what will happen under given scenarios. We see the declining morality of our culture, and we are fearful of what it will mean for our freedoms, our rights, and we or will we be persecuted for our beliefs? We see the ungodly teachings and practices and ideologies of, that our society is emphasizing, and we worry how they will influence our children. But we must resist the tendency to be nearsighted and instead be farsighted. We must fix our eyes on God, who will most certainly be victorious over all of his enemies. No cultural movement can kill God. No blasphemous lifestyle can dethrone God. No political candidate can thwart God. No man, even if he is a puppet of Satan, can usurp God. Even if all the kingdoms of the earth band together against God, they would be no match for him. It would not be a fair fight. It would be like a group of ants trying to go up against an exterminator with ant spray. God will be victorious. God will right every wrong. He will avenge every injustice. God will win. Now, how can I say this with such certainty? There's a lot of unknowns out there. There's a lot of evil forces out there. There's a lot of scary things happening behind closed doors that we're not aware of. How could I be so certain that God will win and be victorious? Because the Bible makes it clear that this is the case. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, makes this declaration before the people in his prayer to the Lord. He says this: "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations," not just Israel, "all the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." Or Psalm 2, 1 through 6. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed," that is, against Jesus. "And they say, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" That is, they want to overthrow God. They want to overthrow his power over them. That's what they're saying. Verse 4. Excuse me. "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The
The
Lord
Lord
holds
holds
them in
them in
derision.
derision.
Then he
Then
will
he will
speak
speak
to
to
them
them
in
in
his
his
wrath
wrath
and
and
terrify
terrify
them
them
in
in
his
his
fury,
fury,
saying,
saying,
"As
"As
for
for
me,
me,
I have
I have
set
set
my
my
king
king
on
on
Zion,
Zion,
my
my
holy
holy
hill."
hill.
The
The
nations
nations
raged
raged
against
against
God,
God,
and
and
he is
he is
up in
up in
heaven
heaven
laughing at them and their feeble attempts
attempts
to
to
thwart
thwart
him.
him.
He
He
holds them
holds
in
them in
derision.
derision. The
The nations
nations
think.
think.
They
They
think
think
that they
that
are
they are
mighty.
mighty.
But in the
But in the
sight of
sight of
God,
God,
They are no more than little boys with pretend guns made from twigs. The nations think that they are in control, but in the sight of God, He is sovereignly in control and accomplishing all that He intends to purpose. The nations think that they are powerful enough to match God, but in the sight of God, they are like sandcastles against a mighty ocean wave. This is confirmed in what we read in our what we read in our passages this morning in Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19, specifically verse 18. Take a look at this. If you have your Bible still open, take a look at verse 18 of Revelation 11. It says, "The nations rage, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Though the kingdoms and cultures of the world will war and rage and rebel against God, all of their efforts will be futile and in vain. Those who attempted to destroy God's kingdom are themselves destroyed by God, the Lord Almighty. They simply will not be victorious. Therefore, brothers and sisters, do not fear the kingdoms of this world. Do not fear the godless culture and the trajectory that it is going in. All worldly kingdoms will topple and fall. They may seem intimidating. They may ruin your reputation. They may take away your material goods, your rights, or they may harm you physically. They may persecute you and imprison you. They may even kill you, and the world will dance on your grave. Though the worldly powers and kingdoms may seem invincible, though it seems like their rule and reign will never end, just like all other worldly kingdoms, they will all fall. They simply will not win. They will not be victorious. Listen to Revelation 6, 15 through 17, which paints this picture perfectly. This is what they will say when Christ returns at the final judgment. Revelation 6, 15 through 17. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us! Hide us from the face of Him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" And the answer is, no one. No one can stand before the wrath of the Lamb. Except for true believers who have trusted in Christ. All the kingdoms of this world will fall, but God and His kingdom will always and forever be victorious. And so do not fear your immediate circumstances and the current political and cultural kingdoms. Rather, rejoice that God will be victorious. Look to your eternal King and take comfort in His reign. Secondly, I want to encourage you to rejoice that God is reigning now and for all eternity. Listen to our sermon text this morning, Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, and the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Then jump down to verse 17, where the 24 elders in heaven are bowing down and worshiping God and saying this, verse 17, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty. Why? Because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. God has always reigned, is reigning, and will always reign for all of eternity. Though all worldly kingdoms crumble, God's eternal kingdom will never, ever fall. The Bible makes it unequivocally clear that God and his kingdom will endure forever and ever. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Daniel 4:34 and 7:27 also explicitly refer to God's everlasting kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11 refers to entering into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then listen to Psalm 102:25-28. 102:25-28. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You change them like a robe, and they shall pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. You see, God is the one who is sovereignly who has sovereignly created all things. He has established the foundations of the earth. He established all kingdoms and all powers. And he tears them down at his will. Just as it is simple for us to change a t-shirt or a pair of pants, so our eternal God causes the demise of any kingdom just as easily. All earthly powers and kingdoms will wear out like a garment and pass away, but God will always remain the same. His reign and his rule are from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity past to eternity future. Our King and his kingdom are eternal. And so, brothers and sisters, don't lose sight that God is sitting enthroned over the whole universe, every moment of every day. His rule and reign are eternal. No one on this earth can occupy his throne. And no evil presence can temporarily reign over God's kingdom. No, God is always in control. He is always ruling and reigning with complete authority. And therefore, as we read in Psalm 102:28, true believers can dwell secure. We can experience true joy and peace, even when living in an ungodly culture, because our God still reigns. And he will always reign, forever and ever. And so, brothers and sisters, rejoice that God is sovereignly ruling and reigning right now. And he will be the sovereign king forever and ever. Rejoice and take comfort that God is reigning now and for all eternity. And so, rejoice that God will be victorious, rejoice that God is reigning now for all eternity, and finally, and thirdly, rejoice that Christ will return to consummate his kingdom. Christ will return to consummate his kingdom. It is true that God is reigning right now at this very instant. He sovereignly rules and governs the whole universe from his throne in heaven. And as I said in the previous point, that this is a great, comforting news for us to rejoice in. But brothers and sisters, the news gets even better. There is a day coming when Christ will return in order to fully establish his kingdom on the earth. Right now, we experience his kingdom in part, but a day is coming when Christ returns to restore all things and to make all things new. He will usher in the new heaven and the new earth, and God's dwelling place will be among us on this newly restored, perfected earth that is free from sin and its curse. All true believers from the entirety of human history, with new, perfected, resurrection bodies, will experience the fullness of God's glorious eternal kingdom forever and ever. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21. You can flip there now. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. To hear this glorious passage of how history will culminate. Revelation 21, 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God, will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And so, brothers and sisters, what a glorious description of God's everlasting kingdom that will be ushered in after the final judgment. The enemies of God will be justly judged. God's true people and all of creation will be renewed and restored. We will not have sin and suffering and pain and sadness. And God himself will dwell among us. He will be with us in a more intimate, tangible way than we've ever experienced before. The throne of God and the Lamb will be among us, as it is written in Revelation 22. God's everlasting kingdom will be fully established forever and ever. And so, hallelujah and amen, we say, come, King Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is what we have to look forward to. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a dream. Christ will most certainly return and consummate his kingdom. And as Jesus himself declares in Revelation 22. And so rejoice in this certain hope of his return. and fix your eyes on your eternal King and live for his everlasting kingdom. Let me encourage you with this magnificent truth. All of human history is heading towards this glorious climactic reality of Christ's return to consummate his kingdom. And all of the events in history, both the good and the bad, are stepping stones to this blessed future glory. All the times that there is a resurgence in morality, and all the times in which immorality and impurity seem to reign in our culture. All the times that the gospel penetrates into a new people group and new believers come to know the Lord. And all the times that Christians are persecuted and martyred for their faith. All the times that a godly man is elected to a political office, both in the United States and abroad. And all the times that an ungodly, wicked, immoral man is elected to political office, again, both in the United States and around the world. All the times of peace and prosperity, and all the times of war and hardship. All of human history is ultimately culminating in the future reality of Jesus appearing in glory. In Jesus coming for the final judgment and to usher in the new heaven and the new earth. Nothing and no one can thwart this from happening. This most certainly is the future hope that awaits true believers, more certain than the sun will rise tomorrow. And it is a hope that leads us to rejoice and find great comfort in. And so my encouragement for you is this: don't allow your emotional state to be dictated by what is going on around you. Don't let the presidential election or the state of the economy or the wars going on around the world or the current state of our culture. Don't allow these things to overwhelm you with despair, worry, fear, anger, and helplessness. Instead, take comfort in Christ's future glorious coming. Rejoice that Christ will return to fully consummate his kingdom. Rejoice that his eternal kingdom will be established in a more tangible way, which will include the renewal and restoration of all things to how it should be. Rejoice that Christ will return to complete his kingdom. But in the here and now, while we wait for his coming, is it okay to care about political elections? Yes. Is it okay to lament and be saddened by the current state of affairs? Yes. Is it okay to be concerned with the direction that society is heading in? Yes. Yes, it is okay to care about these things. But don't take your eyes off of your true King who is one day returning. Fix your eyes on your eternal King and live for his everlasting kingdom. Take comfort and rejoice that King Jesus will return to fully establish his eternal kingdom. Now, I've said a whole lot about God's everlasting kingdom, but not much about how to enter into his kingdom. And so in order to be part of Christ's eternal kingdom, you must trust in him. You must believe in the gospel. You cannot enter into his eternal kingdom by any other way. except through Jesus. He is the door, the only door into God's eternal kingdom. And the only way through that door and into the kingdom is by faith in Christ. And so, do you trust in Christ? Are you a genuine believer who is part of God's eternal kingdom? Or are you on the outside of that door, wondering if the kingdom on the other side is worth it? If you are not a believer here this morning, would you repent and receive Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your everlasting King, as your greatest treasure? Would you believe in his sacrificial death on the cross in your place, where he paid the penalty for your sins? Would you believe that he rose from the dead, and that if you trust in him, you too will be raised to newness of life? Would you this morning enter into God's everlasting kingdom through faith in Jesus? And if you are a believer here this morning, if you are a citizen of heaven, a citizen of God's everlasting kingdom, then are you devoting your life to the mission of the kingdom? Is the proclamation of the gospel central to your life? Is it more important to you than who wins political elections or the state of the culture or new laws that are passed? As important as those things may be, is your higher priority that of proclaiming the excellencies of Christ your King? There are so many. Many of them are loved ones. Many of them are friends. There are so many who are still citizens of the kingdom of this world. And they are all heading to a kingdom of eternal darkness and suffering. Not temporary darkness and suffering. Eternal, everlasting, without end, infinite years, without bound. A kingdom of eternal darkness and suffering. If they don't repent and receive Christ. And so as a believer, make sure that your priorities are in the right place, that your eyes are fixed on King Jesus and on his eternal kingdom, and that you are living to fulfill the mission that your King gives you, namely, to proclaim his excellencies and his gospel to the lost. And so in the midst of all of life's circumstances, rejoice and take comfort that Christ will return to completely consummate his kingdom. And as you joyfully look to his future coming, fix your eyes on your eternal King and live for his everlasting kingdom. Brothers and sisters, as I close this sermon and this series as a whole, let me remind you of the goals that I intended to achieve through these five sermons. My purpose in preaching this series was the following three things. First, that you would keep your eyes fixed on God, who sovereignly reigns over all things, rather than looking to the world and its ways. Second, that you would not be driven to despair, fear, or worry as a result of the current political and cultural climate. And that third, that you would be better able to interact with others, both Christians and non-Christians, in matters like this, in a humble, Christ-like manner. And so I hope that these sermons have accomplished these goals. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind us of these things, not only as we get closer to the presidential election, but for the rest of your lives. I pray that you will fix your eyes on King Jesus and the things above and not be fixated by the things of this world. I pray that you would be deeply convinced and comforted by the certain fact that God is sovereignly in control of all things, including the rise and fall of kings and cultures, and that he is sovereignly weaving together all things to accomplish his good purposes, even in and through events, kings, kingdoms, and cultures that are ungodly. And that you would trust that our sovereign God and his mysterious ways, which leads you to comfort rather than worry and despair of what is going on in the world. I pray that as citizens of heaven, that you would embrace your role as exiles here on this earth, that you would remember who you are and remember your mission to proclaim Christ. I pray that you would lift your eyes higher and behold your big God who reigns, that instead of living in fear of the world and its systems, that you would rightly fear your God who reigns over all. And finally, I pray that you would joyfully look to the future coming of Christ, and as you do, that you would fix your eyes on your eternal King and live for his everlasting kingdom. In this political season, and in our ever-changing culture, I don't want anyone here to lose their way or to set their focus on the wrong things or to put their priorities in the wrong order or be overcome with fear, worry, anxiety, and anger. My encouragement for us all is to fix our eyes on Jesus, our true, risen, reigning King, and to live for his everlasting kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are coming. Every day is one step closer to when you will return to consummate your kingdom, to usher in the new heaven and the new earth, where you will make all things new, you will restore all things, and we will be in your presence. We will dwell with you in an intimate way that we've never felt before. And so, Father, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to look to you and your eternal kingdom, even when the nations rage around us, even when the culture wars against us, even when things look bleak and grim and morality is just declining, would we not look to this world for our joy and our comfort and our security? Would we fix our eyes on our eternal King? And would we live for his everlasting kingdom? Give us the courage and the boldness to live in such a way. And help us, Lord God, to look to you. Help us, God, to experience joy even in the midst of anything and everything that goes on around us. We love you, our King. Help us to live for you and for your kingdom. We ask these things, Christ Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.